What would be a text to preach in the book of Proverbs on Mother's Day? What's that? That's not the one I'm doing. Yeah, you'd be wrong. I have done that one in the past, but not today.
Proverbs 31.
1829. Well, it's in the bulletin. He, that's why Ken knew 3011. It is the text. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11. Just a few thoughts here with one verse. Proverbs 30, verse 11. And we read together, "There is a kind of man who curses his father and does not bless his mother." Let's have a word of prayer together. Our Father in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, is coming with the clouds. And the scriptures teach us that will be a great day of jubilee, where we will all be released from the bondage of this world and we will be taken into our eternal redemption with the Lord Jesus Christ. We look forward to that day with anticipation and hope and joy. We pray, Father, that everything else in this life would be secondary and we would keep our eyes focused on that which is above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. We would rejoice in the prospect of salvation. And we pray, Father, that even though we are now saved and we have eternal life, we understand that we don't have it all yet, what you have promised for us. We've been given the earnest of our inheritance in the Holy Spirit, but we look forward, Father, to the fullness of salvation. And we pray, Father, that as we look into your word today, we would honor you, that we would learn from it to make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ until he comes, that we might hear those words which he will say to us all, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord." And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Years ago, the then Alabama head football coach, Bear Bryant, did a television commercial for South Central Bell Telephone. At the end of the commercial, he says, "Have you called your mama today?" Then he ad-libbed a line which just delighted the phone company and made the commercial famous. They went ahead and decided, even though he said something that was not in the script, they went ahead and left it in there because it was so poignant and so touching. After saying, "Have you called your mama today?" he added, "I sure wish I could call mine." Today, of course, is Mother's Day, and though not all of us can call our mothers, we've set aside this one day a year to especially honor them. And just because one's mother may have passed away doesn't mean we should fail to extol her memory. Now, in various corners of our society, I think motherhood in particular and womanhood in general, they've both fallen on hard times. Some see motherhood as a burden, an impediment to career advancement and self-fulfillment. Some look at their children as a source of their own identity, to go to another extreme. For all practical purposes, seeing their children as objects of worship or seeing their children as status symbols. With all the children born out of wedlock, it's clear millions of women and men don't understand the meaning of motherhood or fatherhood. And hardly a week goes by without seeing some horrific story of a baby left in a dumpster or abused by malicious and cruel parents who locked their starving child in a closet. But none of this is who we are, and none of this is our emphasis today. Here on Mother's Day 2014, we want to take a look at a few verses that tell us how we should see motherhood and how we should treat them, how we should honor them. What duty do we have towards our mothers? What should our attitude be towards them? We'll at least look at some passages of Scripture, which only will scratch the surface. So we're going to get some partial answers to that question today, or to those questions today, from the book of Proverbs, starting with chapter 30, verse 11. Some of what we will note applies to small children who are still at home, teenagers who are still at home, but some of it, and in reality, when you get down to it, it applies to all of us. First thing we should note is we should honor our mothers with simple respect. Verse 11 of chapter 30, once again, "There is a kind of man who curses his father and does not bless his mother." When I was a kid, I used to go to Vic Grand's barber shop. A friend of mine used to call him Vicious Vic. At any rate, we'd go to Vic Grand and get our hair cut. And I remember he had a bulletin board, and there would be things hung up there, you know, pictures and anecdotes. And maybe people would come in, they had something for sale, or they were looking for something. And there was like a postcard on that bulletin board. And I still remember to this day, it was there when I was 10 years old. Might still be there as far as I know. I don't know, though. Vic would be 190 years old if you're still living. But it said, "The boss isn't always right, but he is always boss." You know, mothers are like that. They're not perfect, but by their position as mother, they're to be honored. Our text says that there are some people who dishonor their parents. And I want you to note this text. It's very interesting because you should always look at things in context, because much of the Hebrew poetry, by the way, and virtually all of it, has a sort of a parallelism in it. That's how it's marked. So the one line will say something, and the next line just repeats it, and then maybe the next verse repeats the verse before it. But look at verse 11. There is a kind of man who curses his father and does not bless his mother. Okay, that's bad. How about the next one? There is a kind who is pure in his own eyes, yet is not washed from his filthiness. In other words, he's self-righteous. There is a kind, oh, how lofty are his eyes, and his eyelids are raised in arrogance. In other words, he's proud and self-centered. There is a kind of man whose teeth are like swords and his jaws like jaw teeth like knives to devour the afflicted from the earth and the needy from among men. In other words, they're malicious and they're cruel. In with all those individuals is the individual who does not bless his mother. In other words, birds of a feather flock together. What we have here then is, when you look at somebody who's malicious and cruel and hateful and spiteful and proud and lifted up, that's, in a sense, what somebody who doesn't honor their father and their mother is like. That's what our text is teaching us here. The point is, it's bad, it's evil to show disrespect to parents, particularly today, mothers. Well, if it's wrong to not bless our mother, then it must be good to then bless our mother. Because that's the converse or the reverse or the inverse. I forget all that stuff anymore. But that's what we're being taught here. Of course, honoring parents is one of the Ten Commandments. As the Apostle Paul says, it's the first commandment with a promise that you might live long on the earth. So how is this manifested? Just very quickly. And again, we're just scratching the surface here on Mother's Day. How is this honor, this blessing manifested? Do you talk back to your parents? Then you're not honoring her. I remember telling my mom to shut up. Once. She slapped me silly. And I deserved it. Because I was not honoring my father or my mother. How do you talk about your mother when she's not around? Is she the old lady? Do you appreciate what your mother does for you, cooking and cleaning? Or what she did for you when you're small and growing up? How she ran errands and a taxi service? When was the last time you told your mother you loved her other than when you wanted something from her? Or told her thank you for the sacrifices that she makes or that she made? Do you care for your parents in sickness and in their old age? Have you called your mama today? These are just a few examples. But honoring our mothers entails more than a card or flowers one day a year. Or going to dinner on Mother's Day. It is a day-to-day, lifelong duty, calling, and in a sense of stewardship, because we are to take care of our parents. It's interesting. Jesus even took this over to old age, by the way. You know, remember when the Pharisees came to Jesus and says, why don't you wash your hands before you eat? Not for cleanliness, but for ceremonial ritualism. And Jesus says, why do you, with your commandments, break the commandments of God? The Bible says, honor your father and your mother. But if somebody says, you know, when your parents have something that you need, and one of you says, you know, that it's korban, in other words, it's been dedicated to God, then you don't have to give it to them. In other words, you're in their old age, in their retirement, your parents come to you, and they are in need of some sort of sustenance. And they come to you, and all you have to do is say korban, and you've dedicated it to the temple. And here's the loophole. If you did that, you didn't have to actually give it to the temple, you could still keep it. Jesus said, you're not honoring your father and your mother by doing that. So it's not even just saying nice things to them, to their face. It's also supplying their needs and watching out for them in their old age. Is that how you treat your parents? I hope you do. Because then truly you are fulfilling the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. Secondly, I want you to note, listen to your mother. Listen to your mother. Go back to Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. I'm telling you, friends, you need to read the book of Proverbs. There is so much neat stuff. So many pithy sayings, so many great reminders of just what it is to lead the wise life. Here is a man, the book of Proverbs, actually it's a compilation, things by Solomon, others, you know, some of the Psalms of Asaph and so forth, or not Psalms of Asaph. It slipped my mind. Go to the end of the book. There are a variety of different people here that have written some of these. Agur is the guy I was trying to think of. Psalms of Agur. But these are people who have been around the block. These are people who have watched the world around them, and they know human nature, and they see what people are like, and they then contemplate, and then they apply godly principles to things. This is just a great book, and you can go through and find all kinds of really neat things to memorize and apply to your own lives. Anyway, listen to your mother. Look at what Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 teaches us. Proverbs 1, 8 and 9. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they're a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. You know, there's been a lot of songs over the years written to remind us to listen to our mothers. Remember the one by Three Dog Night, Mama Told Me Not to Come? What a great song. You know, the radio's blasting, someone's knocking at the door. I'm looking at my girlfriend. She's passed out on the floor, you know. Mama told me not to come. It's a rotten party. I'm just going to get myself in trouble. Mama said there'd be days like this. There'd be days like this, Mama said. My mama told me you'd better shop around. Friends, there's some good advice. There is some good advice. Each of these songs and others, I'm sure, remind us. And those are just songs from my generation when I was a kid growing up, or maybe just a little bit before, but I remember hearing them on the radio. And some of you could probably go back 50, 60, 70 years and maybe think of other songs when you were children, or think of sentimental love songs and things from years and years and years ago. But each of those songs remind us how important it is to listen to your mother. And all things being equal, listening to your mother is a good idea. Now, Proverbs 1, 8, and 9 says, listening to parental advice brings honor and happiness, security, safety, and blessing. A mother's counsel, at least the counsel of a good mother, leads to her child's spiritual and moral and physical well-being. It wasn't for nothing that your mom said, eat your vegetables. It wasn't for nothing that your mom said, say your prayers. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Verses 20 through 26. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 to 26. My son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart, tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching is light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Now, this is fatherly advice to his son, but you can also then take this and apply it to a daughter. Stay away from bad girls, stay away from bad boys. All right? Do not desire her beauty in her heart, nor let her capture you with her eyelids. For on the account of a harlot, one is reduced to a loaf of bread, and an adulteress hunts for the precious life. In other words, you want to get yourself in a lot of trouble, hang out with the wrong kind of girl or boy. You go to Proverbs 31, 1 through 9, find a similar thought. Listen to your parents, because they'll keep you out of trouble. General George Patton, of course, we know him from World War II fame, leading the first, I believe it was the 7th Army in North Africa, and then it was the 3rd Army in Europe. Did you know he could not read or write until he was 12 years old? His father, he ended up being an excellent writer, but he couldn't spell. He was always a rotten speller. His father wanted him to go into law, but his mother used to read him stories about Alexander the Great, which I think is hilarious. Mom, hey, let's sit down and learn about how Alexander conquered, you know, whatever. Oliver Cromwell and the Roundheads and the English Civil War in the 1640s, and other great military leaders. It was his mother's influence and counsel that made him great. Maybe he should listen to his mother in terms of watching his language, if you know anything about George Patton, but at least he was a great military leader. If listening to the mother was good enough for him, then it's good enough for me. Thirdly, appreciate your mother's discipline. appreciate your mother's discipline. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15, we read this verse. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. Once a little boy just got on his mom's nerves. This is not autobiographical, this is a story. Little boy got on his mom's nerve all day long, just needling his sister and, you know, teasing the dog and spilling milk and just being obnoxious all day long. And finally she's had enough and she sends him to his room. He comes out 10 minutes later and he says, "Mom, I just want you to know I said a prayer." And the mother said, "That's good, Johnny." She says, "It's always good to go to God in prayer and ask his forgiveness." And she said, and he said, "I didn't ask for God's forgiveness. I asked him to help you put up with me." Sometimes parents can only take so much. And then they chastise. Now, no child likes being disciplined. I got my share of spankings. Some come to very vivid recollection. And some were. I remember them very well. Dad was consistent. Now, I did not grow up in Bob and Joanne's house of horrors, but I did take some spankings. My dad was real consistent. He would use his belt. And when you saw him going like this, you know, you knew that the jig was up. Mom, she wasn't as consistent. Whatever she could get her hands on was a paddle. Paint stirrers, hairbrushes, ping pong paddles, wooden spoons. If she could have picked up this pulpit and used it for a paddle with one hand, she would have done it. I used to get spankings. Discipline brings wisdom, and a good mother will discipline her children. We don't like it, but it's good for us. Discipline helps us to grow up and develops our character. Proverbs 13:24 says, he who withholds the rod hates his son, but he who loves him chastens him early. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of reproof will drive it far from them. The home is where children first learn responsibility and right from wrong and respect for authority. And you know what? A spanking hurts. That's because it hurts to be disciplined by the authorities. Discipline instills morality, godliness, virtue, and deters from future wrong. That's what God does. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son that he receives. Now, no discipline for the moment seems joyous but grievous, but afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness, which is brought about in them, or which is manifested in them who are exercised by God's discipline. That's what mother's discipline and father's discipline does as well. When done with love, it makes boys and girls into men and women. And the next time you children are upset because you were spanked, remember that a spanking hurts a lot less than handcuffs. Finally, seek to make your mother proud. Proverbs 23, verses 22 to 25. Proverbs 23, verses 22 to 25. Seek to make your mother proud. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who sires a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. When I graduated from high school, I got a graduation gift from my parents. Don't worry, I'm not going to worry about telling you what the gift was exactly. It was quite nice and quite generous. But what really struck me about the gift was not the gift itself, but what was in the card. Because they said, and this is very simple, but I remember how it struck me. It just simply said, "We're so proud of you." I wasn't a particularly good student because... Now, boys and girls, close your ears. School was not to study. School is where my friends were and to play sports. I had to go to school if I wanted to be on the track and football team. School was a place to go to joke around with my friends. I studied when I had to, and I passed all my classes. Math classes, sometimes just barely. But I was always good in other things because my memory would help me in history and in economics and in English and things like that. But I always struggled in math, so I had to do that just to get by. But I was not a particularly great student because I really didn't care to study too much anyway. I wasn't a particularly great athlete. I was pretty mediocre, actually. But, you know, I stayed out of trouble. Mom and Dad never had to worry about whether or not they're going to have to bail me out of jail. You know, Mom and Dad never had to worry about whether I was going to wreck the car. Mom and Dad never had to worry about any phone calls from some girl's father. Nothing like that ever happened. I was perhaps quite boring by some people's standards, but you know what? It turned out okay. I stayed out of trouble. And I wasn't even trying to make my parents proud. I was just trying to not get in trouble, to be honest with you. Parents are often proud of their children for their accomplishments. Athletic, musical, scholastic, and so forth. But this is really for you parents as much as it is for the kids. Our greatest sense of pride concerning our kids should be their spiritual and moral character. It used to be that I can never think of his name. The old evangelist used to come to the church here, and Homer Smith. I remember this as one of those poignant things that a guy says and it sticks with you for the rest of your life. He said, "I'd rather have my kids know their ABCs in heaven than to know Greek and Hebrew in hell." Boy, is that ever true. We should want our kids to have a spiritual and moral character that pleases God, rather than just show off in front of the world or be a star in the world's eyes. Our children should see these accomplishments of spiritual and moral character as the greatest way to honor their parents. Note our passage. What is the reason for the mother's joy regarding her child? Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who sires a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. That's why. It's because the child is righteous, the child is wise. And wisdom in the scriptures, and particularly in the book of Proverbs, is not necessarily just knowing how to figure things out, but it's starting from the foundation and the premise that God rules and reigns, and our greatest duty is towards him. That's a wise son. That's a wise daughter. That's one who gives the parents pride. That's the kind of parent that should be, that's the kind of thing that a parent should be proud of in their children. It isn't because the child here was a great athlete, made all state in basketball or football, not because they were the valedictorian of their class, not because they got a degree from some major university, but because of their character. The writer of Proverbs finds character as the greatest source of parental pride. On the other hand, the parents are not, or at least should not, be shamed by academic or athletic failure, but in the child's flawed character. That's the main thing we need to take note of. Proverbs 10:1, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. Proverbs 17:25, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. Oftentimes, parents grieve over the failures of their children and wonder, what could I have done differently that would have helped my son or my daughter escape this pain and this dilemma? Of course, it's only natural that we should second guess ourselves in our child rearing, especially if we have an errant child. But that does not mean your children's sins and shortcomings are the parents' fault. Yes, environment and upbringing plays a part in how our kids eventually turn out, but no one makes children turn out bad. I don't care how bad the parents were, chances are the father and mother did not twist some guy's arm and tell him to take a sawed-off shotgun into a liquor store and rob it. He made that choice on his own. Environment and upbringing play a part, but all of us have wills that we must exercise and decide. Every day, every moment, every decision, you are at a fork in the road. Am I going to do what I want to do, or am I going to do what God wants me to do? As kids grow older, they make their own choices for good or ill, and they are responsible for them. And sometimes the choices they make are bad ones, and they wind up in trouble and in poverty or sick or in jail. And all this in spite of having good parents who loved them and provided a godly environment. So rather than ask, how did I fail my children? Perhaps we should admit our children have failed the parents. So before you perform any act, before you make plans, before you fall to temptation, before you do anything, a good rule of thumb is to first ask, if I do this, will I please the Lord? Then ask, if I do this, will I make my mom proud of me? And mothers and fathers, when your children do well, make sure you let them know that you're proud of them. Turn your hymn books, please, to number